like to get our meeting started this morning. Have a roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill? Trustee Montez?
Present.
Trustee James?
Present.
Trustee Finney?
Present.
A quorum exists now for the business of this, of our board. And Ms. Willow, will you certify that the quorum exists?
Yes, Minister. Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met.
Okay. We'll now entertain the minutes. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes?
I move adoption of the minutes.
It's been moved. It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill? Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, now we'll move to our agenda. Yes. That'll come up a little later. Okay.
This is the one that's in the book.
Yes. I want to make that a little later. We'll now go into our action items. I want to hold off the Ghana program until a little later. We have a need to appoint a treasurer. Provost, are you going to speak to that?
I can say something about it. The university is required to have a treasurer appointed by statute, and Dr. Justman, as I recall, was the former treasurer, and he's resigned, so statutorily you're supposed to have a new treasurer and approve the authorized depositories that are listed in the motion there.
Which we did.
And so the motion would be for someone to appoint Ms. Louise Williams, Interim Vice President of Finance, Administration and Budget, as the treasurer.
I'd make that motion.
It's been moved.
Okay, I'll second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we appoint Ms. Louise Williams to be the interim treasurer.
Now she is
with us
the,
already.
She's serving as the interim vice president for administration and financial affairs.
Okay.
Currently.
Okay.
Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. We have now the 2010 so ordered. We have now the operating budget for 2010. We're going to present that.
Okay. During the last committee meeting, we presented a budget for approval. In your packet, there is a resolution to accept that budget book. A copy of the budget book was distributed. Each trustee should have a copy of that. Okay. So we're requesting approval for that.
Yep. The, as I understand it, the Finance and Audits Committee has met on the budget, reviewed it thoroughly with the staff. So that being the case, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the 2010 budget.
I'm just sitting here because
it's there.
What is the? Is there an increase in the 2010 budget over the 2009? The budget remains flat.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, there was a decrease in the appropriated dollars, but then it was supplemented with
The governor restored it.
It was restored.
So what are we talking about in terms of dollar amounts?
Okay. Ari?
About 9:30. Yes.
We're requesting the board to approve a spending plan for $115,173,700.
The motion says $115,348,300. Is that incorrect?
It is. That's the resolution.
Okay. $115,348,300.
That is correct.
The state appropriation is flat. The university income fund slightly increased primarily because of the additional cohort from pharmacy.
All right, I'll second.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I second.
Nobody moved yet.
Oh, I thought it was moved.
No.
I'll move that we accept the budget as presented.
It's been moved, and it's been properly second. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. That then brings us to the 2011 operating budget, which, as you know, we must forecast out a year ahead of time. And is there a motion to accept this budget recommendation from the staff?
I make the motion.
It has been moved.
I second that motion.
Been moved, properly moved and second. All in favor? Oh, sorry.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. So ordered. And now we have a number of contracts,
yes.
All of which have been reviewed by me on behalf of the staff, together with each contract was presented before the Finance and Audit Committee, and thereby in the Finance and Audit Committee, which I'm currently chair, recommends that we approve all contracts under item F1 through 17. And I'd like to have a motion to accept or approve all of these contracts.
I've read them. I make that motion.
It's been moved.
I second that motion.
It's been properly moved and second.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. So ordered. That brings us to item G, the Gwendolyn Brooks collection.
During the last committee meeting, there was a discussion that additional information needs to come forward. We were requested to provide a plan for how dollars would be generated to meet the requirements to secure the Gwendolyn Brooks papers. A plan has been submitted for review and approval.
And you?
Excuse me, what is the plan?
It's in the resume.
I know, I see it right here.
Well, first of all, staff met. We had several meetings with the Dean of Arts and Sciences, Dr. Rachel Lindsay, Dr. Lawrence McCrank, Dean of the Library, as well as the Foundation, because the initial agreement was that the university would support this. I have since then, I've had discussions with the incoming president, Dr. Watson, and the university does support it, given that it will provide the university with the additional visibility, as well as assist our students in their academic efforts. And as a result of the planning, we did it for the first year, and to really map out which activities would be sponsored to generate the additional $100,000. We even included a timeline to secure these dollars, and we anticipated that in the event, if those dollars were not forthcoming, that there was a contingency plan whereby deans would collaborate to offset the additional costs through non-appropriated dollars.
Let me say this. The Finance and Audit Committee was reluctant to move forward with this celebratory action, mainly because we did not understand how we could, in these times of fiscal anxiety, that we could approve taking appropriated dollars to make this happen. And so, or even our non-appropriated dollars for that matter. Mm-hmm. And so we asked the staff to come forward with a well thought out plan as to how to affect raising the additional money. I believe that there's approximately another $300,000.
The initial get $200,000 per year for 5 years.
So there's $1 million that has to still come.
Yes.
And we weren't persuaded that there was a clarity that we could make that. And so the idea was to make sure that rather than to rely upon the what little discretionary revenue that this board has or the administration might have, that there be a clear plan. And I'm not convinced. I don't have a sense of the plan right here that I've seen graphically. Is there a page that I should refer to here?
Is this the keeping the legacy at home?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
There's the resolution that says the money will be forthcoming, but it doesn't say the source. $200,000 a year.
Yes. If you look at the, and this is not really the full plan, we gave you the abbreviated version.
Okay.
But I want to assure you, trustees, that I have vetted the plan, and the timelines were drawn. And as a matter of fact, although we know that we have the opportunity to really meet this by December of next year, we drew a timeline that would speak to a June 2010 deadline to secure the initial funding. So,
are there any guarantees contained in the plan?
Never, no.
So who's confirmed that they are going to make these contributions?
We're securing right now, I know this morning I received copies of two letters where external individuals have indicated that they will support. And I think that that's the initial strategy to actually get a commitment from individuals who will actually support this.
Well, I don't know how, is the faculty or administration, are you personally willing to guarantee this?
Yes.
You all have agreed to personally guarantee the money.
Yes.
And so we're talking about...
Hold on, this is very important. This is a very important question. The faculty and administration have agreed to personally guarantee this money should it not come from the source.
Okay, I want to make certain I understand the question, Dr. Fenny. If you're asking me, will Sandra Westbrooks write a check? Is that the question?
I'm not asking you if you will write a check. What I'm asking is what backup guarantees.
You can turn over stock.
Right. But I think the essence is that if the board is, we're committing ourselves to $1 million. And I don't see where the $1 million comes from. And I'm wondering if there's someone other than the board is going to borrow the $1 million, or someone other than the board is going to guarantee. At this particular point, as we go forward, it really means that the body, this body, Chicago State University, is going to pay this money. If all else fails, it falls to the Chicago State University, which is the official university, to pay it. And I don't know if there are guarantees. You've got letters of commitment from foundations that have agreed to award $1 million over a 5-year period of time. I mean,
At this time, no.
At this?
At this time, we do not have that. We have the letters of support from Ms. Glover and Mosley in terms of the fundraising effort. There are two more letters forthcoming from Susan Taylor and Lerone Bennett pledging their support. They did not put a dollar amount.
That's the one.
But I think we have two of those letters. So in the 2 weeks since you gave us that mandate to come up with the plan, we have a plan for how we will approach it, but no, we do not have any guarantee.
So let me be clear in terms of the cost, excuse me. We're talking about $1 million for this project, for the collection that will be payable over 5 years. This is a 5-year $1 million plan. And this is just for the collection.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Is that the total amount of the collection? See, that's what I'm...
The cost of the appraisal was set to $1.5 million,
okay,
of which $500,000 has been collected toward the campaign holds $1.5 million. That money has already been committed and needs a reserve of $1 million, which we negotiated with the state to pay for minimally over 5 years at $200,000, which is less than 0.2% of the total university assets. You are correct that we're asking for commitment from the university as a guarantee to proceed from a depository contract to a purchase contract government. In the negotiation of the purchase contract, we're also negotiating further flexibility that if in fact, for example, it takes 6 years, that there would be a percentage from penalty or interest, but there is a flexibility to extend the length of the payout to the $1 million. Now, what you're asking further, is there a mechanism inside university assets to guarantee what would happen if there's a shortfall between what money we earn and what money we're committed for? I've suggested to the administration that there is, without, in fact, diverting dollars from the normal acquisition program of the university library. It has not been acted on since we're in an interim situation. But there are assets, both in terms of indirect costing revenues, emergency revenues, and salary savings deposits, plus income accounts that can be tapped, for example, up to $100,000 a year, 0.1% of the total university assets, if in fact the legacy campaign fails to earn that. But I think we've done everything possible to negotiate with the potential donor a flexible means, both to acquire the collection, but also to guarantee flexibility and ease and viability in our approach to the issue.
I would say two things. One, I think it's commendable in that a strategy should be developed to acquire them, but we clearly do not have a strategy. And you point to that in what you just said. You said there's flexibility that they may extend for 6 years. Is that it? That's not in writing, so that means nothing. Donors, let me finish. Let me finish. Let me finish. Let me finish. You talked about the possibility of university assets. What we need to see in writing is an actual strategy describing everything you just talked about that we can concretely react to. And that's all we're asking. Short of that, we have nothing to react.
Exactly.
So I would make a motion that we table this until you come back with a concrete strategy that we can look at for and react to.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and second that we table this matter until the the staff comes back with a plan that the board can review and support. And before we vote, I'd like to say parenthetically, there's no desire, I believe, on any part of the member of this board that we not take the collection. But what there is a matter of is making sure that there's a way to pay for it. And I think that the dean from the library has spoken two possibilities that have yet to be acted upon. I think that once those matters have been acted upon and it's clear to the Board of Trustees that this, we do have the money to pay for this collection, I think that it can move forward. We're talking about a possible delay. We have a meeting again in December, and at that time, we've got another, so almost 90 days to put everything in place to make sure that we can execute or live up to our commitments. Our incoming president will be aboard by then, and we should be able to have a clear plan that we can then review and have confidence in that we can move. So with that having been said, I'd like to call over.
We actually have a November and a December meeting.
Yes. Okay. November and, I'm sorry, yes, committee. So.
Yeah, I would like to make a question.
I'm sorry?
If in fact you delay until December, you're delaying the negotiation of the gift. We're also under pressure, for example, two other universities have taken the collection from us, for example, as Havoc Group. You're also then proposing that we will miss all December deadlines of the fundraising initiatives for grant proposals, which in fact is one of the game plans for the first step in how to raise the $200,000.
We have a November meeting.
Should we continue?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to say
and
that
give a, provide an update in that way. The board will be more informed as to whether or not
right.
There will be approval. We will do that.
Trustee James?
Yes, I would like to say that we've already committed ourselves with the $500,000 that we've already delivered.
That's right.
And there will certainly be penalties if we're not able to meet our obligations on a yearly basis in a timely manner. That being said, it is very much important that we bypass this section. I mean, if we need to have a report done, we can have the report done, but we're already committed. We've already got dollars in other people's pockets. So, I mean, I do not understand what is the need to further delay this process of voting this when, as I said, the transaction has already been initiated and money has already exchanged hands. Money, earnest money, if I have the right understanding of earnest money, once you've given it, you can't get that back. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we're going to lose $500,000 by delays?
Well, we don't know the terms. Earnest money often has deadlines and other kinds of things. What are the terms? So you just can't make a blanket statement. You can't get it back. There are deadlines. What are the terms?
We will forfeit that money.
But what are the terms? Forfeited at what point? That's
sorry,
what I'm
As of what date?
That's what I'm talking about. What are the terms? If I,
unfortunately, when that earnest money was given, there were no terms established.
So that's
so we just gave money and didn't have terms and conditions on it?
That's tragic.
So then you're saying that
that's irresponsible.
So then we
I wasn't involved.
So a contract was signed.
There was no contract.
There was no contract. There was an agreement.
There was a letter of understanding.
A letter of understanding was signed.
In regard to Chicago State being allowed to purchase, and that was earnest money that was
put down on the letter of understanding.
Who did it?
The former president.
President or interim?
President.
Well, here's what I think. I think this, that the losing of $1 million, of $500,000, does not offset the possibility of paying or not being able to pay another million. So I think that what we have to do is to try to find a way out of this thicket. Should there be, and I don't know, Dean, how you can represent that if there's no formal agreement and nothing is in writing and the terms and conditions not there, I don't know how you can assert that we're going to lose the $500,000 if there were no sunset on the date certain that we have to pay up. But what I would think is this, should there, and I don't see a reason why aggressive fundraising should not be engaged as well as applications to various foundations. Mm-hmm. As Trustee James has already said, we put $500,000 of our own skin up, which simply means that, or it came from someplace, we got it there. So it doesn't mean that we're operating in good faith, but I think that what it is to say that this board is reluctant at this particular time to vote
on a put another to contribute another $1 million without knowing where it's going to come from. And I would recommend to us that we, if there is a need to have an emergency meeting or something like that, we can always, with proper notice, call an emergency meeting. But this plan that has been put forth is, I think, less than persuasive because it doesn't carry the backup support that it needs. And I would argue that it seems to me that the staff and administration might very well get busy and work hard to get letters of commitment from various sources where we might be able to have confidence that this money will be here. And if it is not, cannot raise it, then maybe your department can give us some documents as to how the library department will make the contributions. And so that we at least have something to back us up. But we don't have anything other than almost hearsay at this particular point.
In that regard, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that the Board of Trustees be provided a copy of the letter of understanding. We haven't even seen it. So we don't.
May I address the board
Nancy,
again?
You have
what you have is a proposal before the board for a depository agreement, not the purchase agreement. And there seems to be great confusion between the depository agreement and the purchase agreement. The depository agreement is what would enable us to proceed with the fundraising.
Where is it? What, is that in this report?
In the, I think what he's referring to is the last paragraph of the written motion under that tab, where the resolution is, after reciting these precatory things, is that it be resolved that the board approve the initial process of transfer and deposit of the collection as stipulated in the depository transfer agreement. But there's another thing that as far as I know, nobody on the board or has ever seen, nor has it been vetted through anybody. What is the depository transfer agreement? Who drafted that? When was that drafted?
Let me go for some.
The depository transfer agreement is being negotiated as we speak. In fact, we tentatively have a meeting with Ms. Tomorrow with her attorney and with several other representatives.
So you're asking the board to approve an agreement that isn't even finished at this point.
That's true.
Right. Well, so how can you lose? What deadlines are we losing against for a non-existent agreement?
We would lose it if you delayed action until December. But what I was
we have a November meeting.
November meeting.
Yes.
I thought it was a December.
He said December. We have a November
have
and
meetings.
December meeting. In fact, it's November 11th.
Would be too late to act on what, Dean?
We're facing, for example, December 5th deadlines for NIH and stuff. We'll just have to wait.
But as Ms. Hall Walker said, there's
for who?
No agreement.
The National Endowment for Humanities.
The National what?
Right.
It's the grant that.
Well, why would you miss it?
Because we won't be able to turn a deadline around in 2 to 3 weeks.
No, he's asking us to move forward. We can move forward.
And just
yes.
Not submit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you've got legal documents and representations that have got to be made, and they've got to come before this board in order to affect them. And my point is this: to here's the challenge that we have. And I thought we were past this. The challenge is to ask the board to do something in faith, mm-hmm. and not have it backed up with substantive fact. And I thought, Dean, that we were past that. Because we have worked hard not to put a gun at the board's head continuously and say, if you don't do this right now, we're going to lose something. And I've been on this board for almost four years, and we rush in and do something. Board is ill-informed, takes an action, doesn't have the proper legal documents to support it, and then at some subsequent point, the Chicago Tribune says the board's incompetent. Or the auditor say the board's incompetent. We're not going to do that.
I should clarify that.
But we don't
But the board doesn't. You don't have it.
You don't have one. So I think it's a moot conversation until you have an agreement for us to react to.
And we will provide that at the November board.
Thank you. I suggest we move on.
Can I? One thing that I think is correct, but maybe with the people here addressing the student trustees' concern, which seems legitimate, you can't, is it fair to say you're not at risk with respect to the money that you've already given because you don't even have an agreement yet about what would be done? So you can't be in default of anything yet because you haven't even finished negotiating an agreement. I think that's right. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, the key thing, and I we don't need to belabor this, we've got a big agenda here. The key thing, I think, is to have the proper legal documents before this Board of Trustees for it to, as well as the support for how we're going to raise the money. And if the council, Nancy Hill Walker, has already said that she's still working on an agreement. And so how could we, and then we always have the Auditor General looking over our head. And that is, should we move forward with this matter and approve it without an agreement there, then that's another audit exception. And so we've just got to make sure that we do things, I think, in a proper, with proper due process and form. So I'm gonna call a vote.
On the motion to table.
On the motion to table.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez? Trustee Montez?
Wait just one moment.
Okay.
Because I'm not exactly satisfied in terms of the explanations. And table it for how long?
Exactly.
Till the November meeting?
To the November meeting? Or it could be if there's an emergency, if documents come forth to satisfy the board, we can always call we can always have a call meeting with proper notice.
May I just say that?
Wait a minute, because I have to think. Okay. All right. Yes.
Yes.
Before I give my vote, I would just like to say that we have already acted. And to me, it seems as though bringing this before the board is merely a exercise at best. And on the motion to table this until another meeting can be rescheduled, I vote no.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. And let me just say this to the staff. It would be very, and the law department, as well as council, it would be really, really helpful if you would aggressively now move to get this matter clarified. And I think that the intent of the board is not to kill this deal, but it is to make it happen and to make sure that we're doing things in the proper form. I would urge you, as soon as after this meeting is over, to meet. And if you can have everything that needs to be in place in October, we can always call a meeting in October. But you need to have something in place for this board to act upon so that it is acting responsible. We'll go to the next item on the agenda, which is
reports.
Senior Administrator's report.
Okay, therein, there's a lot of information there, and I don't want to take the time to go through every item, because there are some things I think that I would really like to capitalize on in a forum such as this. One, because it has been shared with previous committee members and trustees, but the thing that we focused on at the start of the semester was enhancing our registration process. As has been indicated with other board members, we had an enhanced registration period whereby we tried to house all student services in one location. That initiative was very successful. We had a survey which students completed as a result of that because we wanted to receive some feedback to was it successful, and if there were some areas for improvement, we wanted to know those as well. And I believe as a result of initiatives such as that, in addition to the most recent one that we had for a two-day period, which was the student loan check disbursements. Again, we housed it in one area. And the thing that I liked about both of these initiatives, because truly they impacted enrollment and retention, it was the ability to request administrative staff to come out and to volunteer on the selected days. During the registration period, it was for 14 days. So what that did is it saved the university quite a bit of money in terms of not having to hire extra help. And the hours of operation were from 9 in the morning until 7 p.m. on a daily basis. The check disbursement was phenomenal. And again, we wanted to hear from the students. We want to hear how can we improve those services. In addition to that, the one thing that we're trying to do is when we endeavor to participate in initiatives like this, that we can also use it as an opportunity to add on additional projects, especially things that are significant. We know right now that we are facing a challenge. Effective January, we have no MAP money available for students. So what we were able to do at the check disbursement initiative, and was for 2 days, both the 15th and the 16th, right? 15th and 16th, that Tuesday and Wednesday. Computers were set up under the leadership of Dr. Irma Brooks Williams, and the students were actually able to log on and send their letters immediately to the Legislative Assembly. So we were really pleased with that. The turnout was phenomenal, and I think the students were pleased. Now the highlight, because each board meeting, I would like to be able to be in a position through consultation with Dr. Watson to provide this body with an update on where we are regarding the focus visit. Dr. Watson and I, we have an appointment to meet with Dr. Karen Solomon, who is the Vice President for the Higher Learning Commission. That meeting is scheduled October 1. A task force has been in place now for 3 weeks. We meet every Friday. Trustee Hill has graciously volunteered to serve on the on that task force. And we think we will be ready. So Dr. Watson and I have had an opportunity to meet with the Higher Learning Commission, I'm sure that additional information will be forthcoming. And in closing, I like to say, I believe it's because of the initiatives that I've outlined that enrollment is up. We're up by approximately 400 plus students. We're holding steady. That number will be reported to IBHE on Monday. And there are a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes. We're talking about not only the face-to-face. Yesterday, we sent out a mass request to not only the deans and the department chairs, but also, really asking the faculty to participate in helping us to identify those students who may require additional support. And specifically, we wanted to be able to do it electronically, that way we can get the feedback immediately. And that feedback will be available on Monday. And essentially what this will allow us to do, faculty will be able to log on and obtain their class roster, the current class roster, and they will be able to click the various boxes to indicate whether or not a student is not attending classes, is missing assignments, is not doing well on exams or quizzes, or is making satisfactory progress. And this is just the fourth week of classes. And what we plan to do is to do it during the fourth week, the eighth week, which is at the midterm point, the 12th week, and then final exams. And I think through this tracking, we can then, through the assistance of faculty, identify those students who may require additional academic support, place the tutors that may be necessary in place, and provide the students with the support that is necessary so that we can retain all of them. Of course, we've set goals for each of the colleges, goal reflecting 85% of all students in that college. We want to see them. Of course, we would love to have 100%, but we have to start somewhere. And we want to be able to exceed our goal of last year, which for retention was only 70%. So we've upped the ante 15 percentage points, and each of the deans under their respective leaderships will make that happen.
Questions of the provost?
No, simply I would like it put in the minutes that we commend staff and faculty in terms of the historical first, in terms of those initiatives. Mm-hmm. I've had some very positive feedback from the students. I'm in the community, and when things go wrong, don't worry, they knock on my door, they call me, or they come by the museum, and they tell me. And like I said, in terms of the check situation, everybody was ecstatic about that. In terms of being able to register, they were very pleased about that. And I feel that those two initiatives should not be gone without saying, in terms of commending what you have done, because you've made it better in terms of the environment on the university.
Trustee Tolliver.
I would add also, I'm familiar with some of the activities in here, and I know that you didn't personally carry them out, which is fine. It was your office staff, so somehow in the report it should say, you know, this office has undertaken these representational functions, so that your whole team gets the accolades due. You well, obviously are the driving force, mm-hmm. but somehow that should be conveyed too, so that we show our appreciation for your whole team.
And we have met. As you know, you will never find my name referenced anywhere in any report that says the word I, because I know I never do anything, I never accomplish anything without a team. And that's why I want to preface, we convened, we always have the debriefing meetings. And we had two debriefing meetings. We had one with students because we wanted to hear from the students, but also we wanted to hear from team members, those that had volunteered, because it's a two-way, it's really a two-way collaboration. We want to make certain that staff also feel appreciated. And I really received I was just so pleased to hear the comments of the staff and even the morale. You know, they felt appreciated, not only by the students, but, you know, as we participated, the one thing I continue to hear when we convened the three debriefing meetings, staff had a chance to sit next, adjacent a table, and didn't know the other staff person because they worked in another unit. So it gave the staff an opportunity to meet people they had never met before. So I thought that just that collaboration, we have another check disbursement tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. Okay, I have to keep my days straight. And we will continue to do the same. And I think as we move forward, just responding and responding with immediacy to some of the concerns that students have raised so that we can retain the students. We don't want them to leave for that reason, because we want to improve regarding our customer service, because that's key.
Thank you very much, Provost. I think that Trustee Montez has really raised a very important matter for us, and that is the work that our staff and faculty have engaged in this past few months. You don't achieve what you have achieved just on the day of enrollment. There was a lot of work, it would occur to me, by your team and by the team that's here and those that are not here, to make it happen, to move from a decline of each year, have an enrollment decline in a difficult time such as these,
of uncertainty to increase enrollment by 400 students is major. And I think that that means that this administration and faculty should be commended. And I invite us all to commend you right now. To set, when we began to work, on this effort, three things that were really important, and I can remember that trustee, all at least three of us were at the meeting, and it was a difficult meeting, four of us maybe, but we pressed enrollment, retention, and graduation. Those were the three indices that we wanted to see improved. And I believe that the future holds great things for us. And for you to set the goal of 85% or retention college by college, that's major. And I think that it will go a long way to helping us to ensure a graduation, to design a program to early identify students that are in trouble by whether or not they attend class regularly, they're turning in their various homework assignments, et cetera. That's major. That, I think, will help move the retention forward and ensure that more of our students graduate. So I think that, and then of course, I had an occasion to witness, I don't know if other board members did, but there was a report that came out, that visited our campus. I think her name was Dorothy Tucker. She did an outstanding story. And part of the story was, of course, this whole area of making sure that we get the word out about MAP, and that's happened. And I think that some of us have already begun to make the calls. I certainly have. I've got a meeting tomorrow morning with the Speaker of the House to urge that he use his offices to move to make sure that we get additional student assistance as of January for this MAP program. I think that, but the human inside of the story that Dorothy Tucker did with, I think her name was Miss Emerald, I think that was a good thing. Because out of that, as I understand, Miss Emerald now will receive full tuition support for her college education from here. And she'll receive some support for housing. Well, these are things I think that matter. And I'm also glad to see that the grounds are improved. I'm glad to see.
You notice the pavement has.
Yes.
You know, you told me, you plan not to come back here unless that pavement is.
All right. The grounds have improved. We see new foliage and new grass and new bushes, things that enhance the community. The college campus. I'm glad to see, and I heard. I'm sure that student trustee James will note that the. I think he mentioned to me informally that the dormitories were cleaner than they've ever been before, and we're becoming student friendly. And I think that the key thing that, for me as a member of this board of trustees, is to see this university become friendly towards the students. They are the only reason we're here. There's no need for an administration nor any need for a faculty if there are no students. The reason for us to be here is to serve the students, and we are at service to the students rather than being living off of the occasion for them being here. So anyway, I'm taking a long time to simply say that it has been, I think, a good experience for us, and the board does commend you, and I'm sure that it will be reflected in the minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. That having been said, I think that we now move to the next item on the agenda, which is
committee
reports.
Mr. Chairman, the Academic and Student Affairs Committee met. I think we've Dr. Westbrooks has really covered everything. We did not have any action items. She has covered everything, I think, that were the major things in terms of reports regarding enrollment, the focus visit, and the improvements to the campus, particularly to the residence hall. So I really have nothing further to report.
Okay, finance and facilities and audit. I'm the chairman of that committee, and we've already covered everything there, so I have nothing further to say. That then brings us to the Civil Service Merit Board.
Our next meeting is in October, and the only thing worthy of note, I saw that the Civil Service Merit Board sent a letter that you got and Dr. Watson and others, so there's nothing to report.
Thank you very much, and that gives us finally Trustee James.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to start by thanking you all for coming out and giving your time. I know it's a mandatory thing, but thank you anyway. Registration for the first time in many years at Chicago State has gone to a one-stop shop or arena registration. Though the process had some flaws, it was done in a spirit of service to the students, reducing the runaround and offering ease of information from the administration to the students. This, I believe, is a step in the right direction and highlights the need for the renovation of Robinson University Center. MAP grant. As we all know, MAP grant funding has been cut by 50%. This brings about one of the largest challenges facing this university in fiscal year 2009. It will take some strong commitment from the entire university community, both on campus and off campus. We should realize that this affects every business and every household within this community. However, I feel as though the sense of urgency is not felt by all affected in reaching out to the community and, I mean, at large in an effort to gain their buy-in. And this, I believe, is of the utmost importance. Customer service. Service at this university has seen some improvement, but I've witnessed a student go to a representative of our university in an effort to gain some assistance and was met with attitude and haughtiness from the representative. The representative engaged in an argument with the student, which led to much back and forth between the two of them. In business, arguing with the customer is something that is not tolerated by any business within the service industry. At our university, we are in the service of financial, educational, and just basic customer service. And therefore, it should be our mantra going forward to provide excellent customer service to every individual who walks to every staffer, every administrator with a question, concern, or issue. And if that student or that customer is not receiving the level of customer service that they should be receiving from those offices, that administrator needs to be held responsible, not only for their actions, but for the actions of all staff under them. The student health insurance. At the last Board of Trustee meeting, the issue of the pink card was brought up. In that meeting, I requested a reason for why the pink card was no longer accepted when the services provided by that card could not be rivaled by our student-provided health insurance, as well as students who have qualified for the card have shown the inability to gain health insurance by the state of Illinois. The question today is, since the pink card has not been reinstituted, why hasn't any information gone out to the students informing them that the change has been made and that they are accepting the pink card and that they have extended the deadline to whatever the date was? As well as some means of taking these requests that are visible to the students in form of booths, sending students out to classrooms and asking professors for time to speak to alert other students. There's been simply no efforts made to get this word out. And a $460 cost to an individual who does not have the means of paying for that is unsatisfactory. As a member of this Board of Trustees, I am very disappointed in the lack of urgency placed on presenting requested reports from the Board of Trustees in a timely manner. I am very understanding that every administrator has a lot on their plate. However, if an administrator is unable to meet a deadline due to workload, I would hope that they would hire an intern paralegal administrative assistant to produce those documents requested by this office. I truly believe in the business principle that if one person cannot measure up, there is a large number of talented, unemployed individuals who are willing to take on those duties. May I ask that Dr. Westbrook, Mr. Crowley, and Mr. Davis please come before the board?
You've been requested.
He's going to hit you over your head with his laptop.
I see that Mr. Davis is not in here. May I ask, Dr. Westbrooks, when did you start your 31-page report?
I don't recall. I don't even know what day it is. I understand that, I'm always, and this is about me, when timelines have been set, especially as it represents the academic side, we get our reports in on time. So when I'm privy to the date, we meet it. So I can't speak to when, because I don't remember when the request went out, but Dr. Brooks Williams' office, constant reminders, electronically, phone calls, in the elevator, and so when the request is made, we submit.
Did you do it yourself?
No. Report is never done. It's inclusionary. So what I do is I will reach out to the respective units that report to me. And as you know, I have units reporting to me now, given the absence of other administrators not being in place.
Would you say that your duties are then very high?
Yes.
If Dr. Westbrook can put together a 31-page report to the Board of Trustees with all of her commitments and duties, I do not understand why, in 13 days, no report was delivered to the Board of Trustees when I made the request on September 11th. Sir, do you have any comments?
What was the report that you're referring to?
Trustee James, you might want to give us an understanding of where you're going.
Yeah.
So you've got fellow members of the Board of Trustees, and we don't understand where you're going.
Well,
so,
if you need me to elaborate, I will.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It would be helpful.
On September 9th, when we had our committee meetings, there were some issues that I took note of within that meeting, based off reports that were submitted to the Board of Trustees. As you know, my duties are fact-finding and policy recommendations and things of that nature. When I made the request, it was on September 11th, I made a request to the athletics department to produce documents to satisfy my questions. I also requested that Mr. Crowley submit some documents per this meeting. That was not done. So my question is, why was that not done? And it really doesn't matter why it wasn't done. What matters is that it should have been done. And if it wasn't done, then there should have been some answer to that prior to this meeting.
Let me say this, Trustee, you might want to get your response, and then after you get your, I think that we may be crossing over from policy to management of staff, and it is not the responsibility of the board to manage the staff from the board. So I think that while we are here to set policy, there is a thin line between policy making and management. And so I just want to say that you may continue to raise your questions. So go ahead.
Was there any response?
The questions you asked me, I didn't realize there was a deadline for those. And as we spoke to the, before the meeting, when we spoke again, I told you I'd have them to you by next Friday. I thought it was more casual. We did not set a deadline for that. So it was not my understanding that it was for this meeting.
Okay. And continuing with my report, I was going to say that finally, Student Government Association is headed toward a new year full of promise and opportunities for all students to get involved and take action. As we look at what the future holds, as we look towards the future, it holds unique and innovative ideas. No, I'm sorry. Let me just bring it to the point. I would like to publicly request if there are any students who are seeking a chance to let their voices be heard, I will be here after the meeting to hand out business cards and to supply you with any information that I can provide to help you in that pursuit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Trustee James. And let me say this. I really have been here as a member of the Board of Trustees, and I have found it important to get information. So I share Trustee James' concern about getting information on a timely basis. But I also would want to point out that we have gone through registration during the same period that we had between the last committee meeting and now, as I believe classes began on September 17th. And we pressed much of the administration into service to make sure that enrollment and registration went smoothly. And I think that there's a reason for that, and that is, as Trustee James pointed out, that we have a first in terms of achieving what we have in terms of enrollment and registration. I think there's always a cost for that. And that cost is associated with the deployment of staff in order to make it happen where in other years they were not deployed. And I understand that people were working during registration and enrollment that had never worked in registration and enrollment, and they had to leave doing something else that might have helped their normal duties in order to help for student enrollment and registration. So I think we just have to keep that in mind. There's been no one, I believe, from this Board of Trustees that has been more insistent upon performance by the staff. And I have been highly critical of the staff in the past, and I'm hoping that those days have passed us